Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here along with RJ. So Kyrie Irving opts into, and was there ever a question that he was not going to opt, that he wouldn't opt out? I mean, I've heard Jay Will on the show before us, he said, I was going to go ballistic if he just opted out and took that $6 million instead of the $37 million.
Right.
Like Kyrie Irving has got to, you know, it needs all that much more money that, you know, Kyrie Irving has been basically stealing for a while now by not playing, by just being weird, by not showing up and collecting paychecks and not being, you know, the player that they thought he was. And you were going to go ballistic because I thought if he'd have done that, I would have been like, now, well, you know what that shows me? That dude cares more about winning. That dude, he really does care.
I thought the same thing. I'm surprised you're saying the same thing, because I thought the same thing when I heard him. It's like, man, if he left all that money on the table, like, it is kind of crazy that I guess the bag really is the only thing that matters. I understood that. I mean, Kyrie understood that there's not a lot of teams that like him. And Kyrie's put himself in this position. He's too loco. That's all it is. John, can you tell people, I know you're fluent in Spanish, can you tell people what loco means?
He's crazy.
He is.
You're crazy, boy.
He is. He has too many. So people just don't want to deal with that. You get to a point where the juice isn't worth the squeeze. And I think that's where Kyrie Irving is, especially from a new contract standpoint. But I agree with you. I don't think he's going to be happy with the Nets. We already know he's not happy. So he's going to go there, and eventually that thing's going to explode this year. If he would have checked out and checked in for more money for the mid-level exception, I do think there's a better chance that he would have been happier as a person and as a player with the Lakers.
The Lakers or the Clippers.
I mean, I'm sorry, the Clippers, rather.
Yeah.
LA. So I think what you're dealing with is, no, the Lakers, not the Clippers. Clippers are going to be John Wall. It's the Lakers. He could have taken a mid-level exception with the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
It was going to be Lakers with Kyrie. It's John Wall.
I saw where he was going to end up with either team as well. So, okay, so let's say Lakers. Regardless, really, he's going to be happier with LeBron, who he had an issue with before,
and
there was the pettiness that was going on before?
Yeah, I do
think. This is going to be better?
Yeah, I do
but
think
here's,
so.
Here's the deal.
The Nets? Yeah, I do think so.
From a Rockets standpoint, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Kyrie was on that team. Durant was on that team. James Harden was on that team till he left. Ben Simmons was on that team, although he never showed up. And they were still a play-in team. Now, are they going to be much better next year? I don't know. Is Kevin Durant going to play the whole season? He's getting old. He's getting a lot of miles on that body now, and he's still got those stick arms. Kyrie, are you sure he's going to be there? Are you sure he's not going to Dennis Rodman you, and he's going to be gone and doing all kinds of stuff? Are you sure Ben Simmons' head? Are you sure he's actually going to show up and play in regular season basketball?
Yeah, I think there's still a chance the Nets could. I don't know about fall apart, but there's a chance the Nets could. Yeah, I don't think Kevin Durant's going to like being with the fragile Ben Simmons and whatever Kyrie's going to do this year. No, I don't think Kevin Durant's going to like it. I don't think Brooklyn is going to be a top team. Kevin, now here's the difference. John Wall doesn't have much left in the tank at all. Russell Westbrook is actually a negative impact on the team. No matter what his stats are, he really negatively impacts your ability to win. Kyrie Irving has a positive ability to impact the team based on his talent. But the other stuff is a big, big problem. Him opting in, not a surprise. There's not going to be a market for Kyrie Irving. So now Kyrie is going to be unhappy. He'll take his money. But he's already got a lot of money. So that money's not going to make him happy. Playing on a team that he wants to play on would have made him happy. And I agree with you. That would have been a ballsy move that would have been based upon getting out of where he was. And let's face it, you're going from the East Coast to the West Coast. It's a completely different vibe. He's been a West Coast. He's been Cleveland. He's been Boston. He's been Nets. He's been on in one geographically one area. The West Coast might have been a good thing for Kyrie Irving. I don't really care. The only reason I care is because I want whatever gives the Rockets the best chance to do well. Kyrie Irving is a short timer over there. We know that. Ben Simmons, his mentality is going to play a big role, but I'm just banking on Kevin Durant getting the F out of there. That's the only thing I care about is get Durant out of there and let him leave in free agency and not through a trade because I don't want anyone coming back.
All this does is expand it by 1 year. The plan, Rafael Stone's plan, was they're going to fall apart. We're going to get those draft picks. We're going to get those swaps. And we're going to be, you know what, it's going to, this is an explosive situation, putting James, Kyrie, and Durant all together. And you know what, it's just going to explode a year later. That's all. And then Ben Simmons is going to be the last man standing. And I can't wait to see the NBA players, the stars, waiting, lining up to play with Ben Simmons.
Dude, they have ESPN 40 games played over the last 3 years and $123 million for John Wall. Like, that's just terrible. I mean, that is the greatest argument against guaranteed money you can possibly make.
Well, at least he was hurt. At least he had the Achilles that he was coming back from. Ben Simmons sat out all of last year because he was scared.
No, well, John Wall sat out all of last year because he didn't want to come off the bench.
Yeah, that's
true. What's the difference? Who cares? At least one guy had a surgery. At least Simmons had a surgery.
Who would you rather play with, John Wall or Ben Simmons right now?
Well, who would I rather play with as a player?
Well, who do you want on your team?
I'd rather have Ben Simmons.
I don't know that. I don't know that
John
I can answer.
John Wall's done as a player. He can't play back-to-back games. Like, how can you – you can't tell me a guy plays 50 games. Ben Simmons, yeah, I get it. I know all the other stuff. It's not like I love it. You're not exactly giving me the best choices here.
Well, okay.
But
Ben
I would rather
Simmons
have the
or
guy
Russ-
that is younger and has talent.
Yeah, Ben Simmons or Russell Westbrook?
Ben Simmons. I can't have Russell screw up my team.
Ben Simmons or James Harden?
Harden.
Ben Simmons or Anthony Davis?
This is the worst game that you've ever invented. Usually your games are like, all right, would you be sexually attracted to a fence? It's usually like News of the Weird where I get asked these questions. Now you're asking me Ben Simmons versus the world is this new game.
Yeah. Okay,
who's this last one you gave me, Ben Simmons or Donovan Mitchell?
Anthony Davis.
AD.
Ben Simmons or Jalen Green?
Jalen Green. What are you talking about?
All right. I just wanted to see.
I did choose Ben Simmons over I do not choose anybody that cannot play physically. I'm not going to choose them. Anthony Davis, I still give a shot. What were you see? RJ was jumping in with something.
Well, I just wanted to ask you guys this question. Do you think Kyrie Irving potentially is looking at this from a standpoint of, you know what? I'll sign the 36. I'll get this guaranteed. I'll play my butt off. And they'll say, hey, we'll give you a long-term deal. And he said, nah, like, I'll see you guys later. Like, is that probably what he's thinking, too?
Well,
I know he's crazy, but.
I see, no, but neither side wants that right now. He wants a long-term deal from the Nets. The Nets have already said they want incentive-based contract. They don't trust him. They've gone through it enough. So the Nets didn't want an incentive. They wanted an incentive-based contract in the first place. Kyrie didn't want it. This opt-in is just about the biggest paycheck possible, and at some point he's going
to
be pissed.
Okay, so he's going to have all this money. Right. To your point here, RJ, he's going to have all this money now. He doesn't need any more money. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars. Could you see a scenario after this season, he plays his ass off, and then he says, I'm not going to play anymore. Now he's become Bill Cowher, where every team, everybody who's in the hunt, who will they sign Kyrie? Can you sign Kyrie? Kids, Kyrie come? Because then now we're talking about Kyrie all the time, which is something I think Kyrie would enjoy.
Yeah, I think Kyrie would really like that. Did you see Kyrie's comment? I put it in our Glory Boy string. I don't know if you knew that's what that was literally what Kyrie said. Kyrie literally said this yesterday. Kyrie, after he opted in, I mean, this guy wants so badly to be so profound. Like, you're never going to be Sun Tzu. You're never going to be Confucius. This is what he said yesterday. Normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow. And then he opted into his deal with the Nets. Like, what? You know what? Put that out there when you opt out of $36 million and opt into a mid-level exception to go make yourself happy
right.
Play at the Lakers. That's when you put that in there. You're just a normal NBA guy. You literally just did the normal thing, which is just, yeah, just take the bag. Who cares if you're going to be happy or not? Don't send that quote out unless you do something that is completely out of the ordinary. I would have had a lot of respect if he had opted out and taken that money. I'm with you, John. I would have been like, man, this guy's about his true happiness. He's like Ricky Williams. You always knew Ricky was a different cat. Ricky never was not that way. Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman's always a different cat. That's real. Ron Artest, different. I think has some, you know, bipolar issues. I think there is some issues he has. Those guys were always going to be different. You knew that. Kyrie is so try hard with this. Like, I am, when a man steps upon the water of the sea, he finds himself not searching for, shut up. Just please stop, Kyrie. Just take your money. Just sit out 3 or 4 games in a row to get yourself right. And then come back when you feel like it. Ricky Williams was legit. That's the kind of guy who gave up all his money. He said, I'm just not going to play football anymore. He also didn't love football. Let's be honest about that. But he did come back. But I would have thought Kyrie had some balls if he said, hey, you know what?
That's different.
I don't care about all that. Yeah,
that's different.
If you said, I'm going to leave $30 million on the table because I'm going to go do what I want to do. This is not about money for me. I got money. This is about living a life that I want to. I would have had a lot of respect for that. And he could have done that. He could have opted to do that unless he was worried that he wouldn't have signed on even with the mid-level, which I think is highly unlikely.
All right, when we come back, I actually am interested in this fight. When we come back, we'll talk about it on the other side. But right now, I'm talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. You don't talk about a guy that fights every day, fights for you to give you more money. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf, who owns GiveMeTheVin.com. You hear him Saturday mornings here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You hear him just give you more money over the phone. Okay, you could call in, and off the top of his head, he could tell you what that vehicle's worth. I mean, it's almost a 2015 Explorer with dual axle. I don't know. And he's like, "Yeah, oh yeah, that's worth $17,000." What? Oh, okay, that's cool. Then I was thinking more like 18. Okay, well, we can talk about it. That's not a problem. Or he's like, "You're letting it right away." Yeah, I'll take that. Come on. As I gave him my daughter's, and he was like, I'll give you that for it. I was like, yep, okay, I'll take that right away. Hurry up. But anyway, here's the deal, is if you're looking for that vehicle to get out of that vehicle, John Clay Wolf's the only way to go. Well, he's at least one way to go that you know what you're armed with. If you're going to the dealership and you want to make a deal, if you're going to to CarMax, go on armed with the GiveMeTheVin.com offer. Now, if he can't beat CarMax, he's going to send you $100. That's ridiculous. That is simply ridiculous. But that happens. Well, it actually never happens because he always beats CarMax. So you're looking to sell that car? One place to go. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Father of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Lance, right now, gun to your head, okay? You have to make a pick. Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell, who you got in a fight?
Adrian Peterson.
Me too.
Yeah. Dude, Adrian Peterson is one of the most incredible physical specimen that I think this earth has ever produced.
His hands. I mean, they're bricks. They're bricks.
Yeah, his handshaking, I know we've told the story before. It's
legendary.
So really weird story. We were at 610 doing a show, and I got a phone call. Actually, it wasn't even us. Our producer, Michael Davis, got a call like, hey, we got a call from somebody who represents Adrian Peterson. You guys want to have him on the show? This is when he's coming out of Oklahoma before the draft. We're like, yeah. Okay, he's going to come in studio. What? Yeah, he's going to come in studio. He's here in Houston. He's having his birthday party here and wants to talk about it. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. So Adrian Peterson comes in studio. We shake his hand. And we do a full segment, maybe two segments with Adrian Peterson. He leaves, and me and John both look at each other and like, did he crush your hand? Yes. Adrian, and then come to find out, you can Google it right now. But I didn't realize it at the time. But we found out very shortly afterwards. This is a thing he does. He basically will try to obliterate your hand. When you shake Adrian Peterson's hand, you had better come with everything you've got just to prevent your hand from being pulverized into sawdust, into bone dust, because he is going to squeeze like a vice. And John, is that hyperbole?
No.
It's not hyperbole.
Adrian
Peterson will absolutely annihilate your hand. So, John, he had an ACL tear and came back from it with 2,000 yards. Nobody has done that before.
And in like record short time.
He's physically, he's like a robot. Like nobody has done the things physically that Adrian Peterson has accomplished. So I'm not betting against that guy. And we used to see him playing poker all the time.
Yeah.
Randomly, like, hey, look, Adrian Peterson's here. We're broadcasting at 7 in the morning at Prime Social. I'm like, hey, look at Adrian Peterson's in that cash game. Doesn't look like he's particularly good.
No.
But they did say he got better.
Yeah, but he is an Omaha player. And that is just deal and dump. Everybody just here, push, shove. Everybody shoves all in. Every hand.
It really is like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just ridiculous. You get into that game and you might see a flop, but then you got to shove. It's every hand. It's just stupid. And if you're a gambler, that's the place to be at Prime. I'm telling you here and now, that is the place to be at Prime. We'll work, go see my peeps over at the Golden Nugget. I want to thank them once again for a great week. I was there for five days. You don't spend 5 days in Vegas. And look how I came back all sick. But that's not on them. It was on me for never sleeping the entire time I was there. So, anyway, but I want to thank them, Golden Nugget. We're going to be there for the opening. Actually, I think we're going to be there around Labor Day in Lake Charles. I love those trips. Love those trips.
Oh, nice.
And that's a great place to play poker, too, by the way. They got poker. They got everything. And now they're going to open up the sports book this summer. And just can't wait. Can't wait to see that. So, all good. So, that is happening. I don't know why. Is there any reason that Le'Veon Bell wants to fight? Has anybody heard anything? Why Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell want to fight each other?
No, I think just money. I don't think
that's it.
Yeah, I don't think there's beef. I think there's just money.
So they can play more poker?
Yeah, I think Adrian Peterson could be a guy that needs money.
Yeah. No, Adrian Peterson got screwed by his people.
Yeah, Adrian, this is probably a money thing, and I don't think there's any beef between these two guys. Not like there is between RJ. I know you're watching the latest NBA beef. RJ, I'm going to see, because RJ is not always like a pop culture guy, but this is a basketball thing. This is not like RJ does do some pop culture stuff and art and music, but this is an NBA beef. What is currently the big NBA beef? Do you know? Let's see what you say.
Does it have anything to do with Draymond?
Yes.
Draymond and...
How do you know? Just because... NBA beef, Draymond?
Equals Draymond.
Yeah.
And I mean, the last thing that I heard from Draymond was the...
You might have it.
Last thing I heard from Draymond was that, I mean, the comment about Kyrie coming on the Lakers will still beat him. I do know that another NBA beef is Skip Bayless and Russell Westbrook.
That's one that developed. This was him and Perk. He called Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, he did. He called him the C word.
Yeah. He C-bombed him. And that was way out of line. To me, like, you should not just throw that word around at people. I know that's not, you know, that's crazy. And Kendrick Perkins was not having it. Draymond got way reckless. Like, Draymond, the Warriors are petty, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with them being, you know, driven. I think people sometimes hate on the Warriors excessively. But I don't know if you saw this or not. Draymond, you know, he's got his own podcast, which is basically him in, just with his phone set up, and he's just talking with one of his, like, a bathroom door in the background. This is his podcast. And he crushed Kendrick Perkins and called him a coon. And that was like, okay, basically he's clowning for
wow.
Yeah. And Kendrick dropped all that stuff and he went Port Arthur on him. So Perkins came back with a TikTok video and he went Port Arthur Kendrick Perkins. And he let him know in no uncertain terms, well, we can fight. I mean, what we can, next time we can really take this to a different level. That's not a problem because you don't call me that. And that was something that that's something that's going to be interesting. A lot of people have been coming after Kendrick Perkins. The entire Memphis Grizzlies are the most, like, the Memphis Grizzlies are the most Twitter-centric fighting with people team. I don't know, man. It's just a different generation. Gen Z. At first, I remember people talking about Gen Z is going to, you know, generations tend to push back against the will of the generation before them. So if you don't like millennials, don't worry. Gen Z is probably going to be anti-millennials. No, dude, they're getting to be way worse. Like, everything, they have to live everything through social media, and that includes all these athletes. So, and I get it. A lot of people like the drama of this on social media. Like, NBA Twitter likes that Skip Bayless is into it with Russell Westbrook and Kendrick Perkins is into it with Bane and Ja Morant. And to me, I'm just sitting here like, I mean, I guess that's the most important thing. I guess that's fun stuff in the offseason, but I don't know. At some point, ESPN's probably not going to be super thrilled with Kendrick Perkins being involved in the middle of all this, dropping F-bombs on people. Threatening fights. I don't think ESPN is going to love that.
The boys in the afternoon, the Wheelhouse boys said something yesterday that was funny. Is they were like, oh, the off season in the NBA is always much better than the regular season. There's so much drama.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Who's going where and who said this about who and on Twitter and all of these things that go on the NBA off season. Yeah, it's kind of true. I mean, the regular season and the games, you're like, well, there's 82 of them. Whatever. Oh, really? The Warriors beat the Suns? Okay. Well, okay. We'll have to wait till June to find out, you know, what that means because it doesn't really, you know, we know who's going to be there. The NBA offseason now, Kendrick Perkins and Draymond Green fighting? That'd be awesome. Maybe they could be on the undercard of Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I don't like Perk's chances. I think he's going to gas out.
Yeah, but he connects with one big one.
Yeah, don't let Perk get, you know, and no. He called him a fake. Like, he called him, how do you go from, what did he call him? He called him, how do you go from.
An enforcer.
That's right, an enforcer. An enforcer to the C. I don't think that's not a bad word or anything, but I understand that's, yeah, that's right. And he goes, I didn't even really think you were that much of an enforcer, to be honest with you.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's. I always thought Kendrick Perkins was an enforcer, trust me. He
wasn't a skilled basketball player.
No, he was not super mega skilled, but Kendrick Perkins was a legitimate old school enforcer.
No.
That is 100% true.
All right, when we come back, I know who is a skilled basketball player.
You know who could be a basketball player? Josh Donaldson. He could fit into NBA, like the NBA stuff. Josh Donaldson can fit into that stuff.
Well, Jabari Smith is a skilled basketball player. We'll talk about him with his assistant coach at Auburn University. Stephen Pearl is going to join us on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now we're talking about – I was supposed to play golf with Billy tomorrow, and I had to cancel because of this cold. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to postpone it. But here's the deal is I wanted to be out there with Billy because Billy is awesome. And, you know, you want to patronize people that really care, people who do it right, people who are going to take care of you, people who are going to give you an honest quote, people who are going to do it an honest job, that are not going to gouge you, that are going to come to your home or your business if you've got any kind of issue with plumbing, and they're going to take care of business. TheBenchPlumbing.com, you can trust them. That's the most important thing with a plumber. I don't know any plumbers. I don't know. When you come, you go, well, yeah, it's going to be $7,000. Oh, is it? Okay, well, darn, that's a lot of money. Or you come and say, well, no, we can absolutely do that for $60. Oh, wow, I didn't know the difference. And you won't either. But here's the deal, is you're going to always get a square deal at TheBenchPlumbing.com.
Yeah, TheBenchPlumbing.com has, and I want to make sure that you understand that repiping under your home is a really big deal. For those of you who you've noticed your water bill has skyrocketed or has been going up steadily, you could have a leak under your slab, and that's something that they can find with hydrostatic testing. They can find it, and then they can fix it. And that's a big, big deal, because if you leave it untreated, it's going to cause problems under your foundation. I had the same thing happen, and it was a nightmare for us. So make sure that you check them out. They're the company you can trust for the big to small jobs. It's TheBenchPlumbing.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stephen Pearl, assistant coach of the Auburn University men's basketball program, is joining us now to give us a little insight into Jabari Smith. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
So well, John, Lance, thanks for having me, guys.
Boy, we really appreciate it. Kelly Iko did a piece in The Athletic, a long piece on the strengths and weaknesses of Jabari Smith, and it was all, you know, different basketball stuff. But what I want to know about is the kid that we're getting here, and the leadership and the work ethic that we're getting here. Coach, you got any examples for us of what this kid's like?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, I mean, you guys got the number one pick in the draft at number three, which I feel like for you guys, you got to be ecstatic about. As far as a kid, you're not going to get a better human being, a better kid than Jabari Smith. Talking about an ambassador for a program, an ambassador for an organization, that's the kid you want. You know, he did an unbelievable job of wrapping his arms around Auburn and just embracing it. You know, he came here not only to obviously become a great NBA player, a great college player, but he came here to enjoy college for a year. You know, he was at all the football games, sitting front row with the students. He was at the women's basketball games, the soccer games, the volleyball matches. He did all those things as a student. And for a young man who was as talented and as highly touted as Jabari was, that says a lot about the kid that you're getting. And I think that'll carry over when he's with you guys in Houston, as far as all the things that he'll do in the community, all the community outreach, and just pouring in to that community as a whole. You know, as far as his work ethic goes, I've never seen a freshman come in and have that regimented of a schedule, that regimented of a workout as Jabari Smith. You know, he came in right away, and he was getting in every single morning at 6, 6:30, having a breakfast club with a couple of our players, and was bringing some of the guys in as a freshman to come in and get extra shots up, get extra work in. Then obviously he'd go in there and lift his weights with our strength coach Damon Davis. Then he'd go to class, and then he'd come to practice. He'd be there 30 minutes early to get shots up. You know, obviously would practice really hard because it was really important to him to continue to get better in practice. And then would be working out after practice to get more reps up and then getting treatment, you know, with our trainer. And being at this level, you don't see that a lot in guys in general, but also just freshmen. You know, freshmen, it usually takes them some time to understand what it takes to be a pro, what it takes to be a college basketball player. Jabari came in as a pro playing in college. And, you know, I thought it really showed. And for such a young man to come in, obviously, as far as a leadership role goes, you got to feel your way into these roles. in college, but Jabari made it known pretty early in practice that he was going to take on a leadership role. He was going to be vocal. Winning was of the utmost importance, whether it was in shooting drills or anything we did in practice, and then obviously in the game. Like, winning is all that matters to that kid, and that's what drives him to be so successful.
Sweet. Stephen Pearl with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. His shooting is legendary, Coach. This is funny, and I was wondering if you had an explanation for this, but Kelly Eichel put in here, you know, 3.42% and just how everything about him, his smoothness, everything else. But one thing that stood out in this article was that he made 52% of his shots at the rim, which is not a very high percentage. Any explanation for that?
I think part of it was the defenses that were being thrown at him to finish around the rim. Obviously, anytime he took the ball on the floor and took it to the basket, he was getting double teams sent towards him. And let's just face it, the SEC is it's a grown man's league, and there's a lot of great athletes. So you're going to get contested at the rim every single time with two or three bodies that are able to block shots and contest you. So, yeah, honestly, 52% with the shots that he was taking, it's not like he was getting uncontested layups and dunks at the rim. Every single shot he got around the rim was contested, and to make 52% of them, it's pretty good. But like you said, as far as his shooting goes, at 6'10", he hit 79 threes in the season, and that's the most by a player 6'10 or taller in the last 25 years. And on shots 24 feet or further, which is the NBA range, he shot 41%. So it's not like he was making, put on the line three balls at the college level. He was shooting NBA threes out there and shooting them at a really high clip.
Stephen Pearl with us. He is the assistant coach at Auburn, talking Jabari Smith. Coach, I'm so excited because, he's a two-way player, which is not something you always see, but he's a two-way player. He can defend multiple positions, which really helps against the screen and roll game now. Shoots from the perimeter already at a high clip. And on top of that, and to me, the most important thing for this young team, Coach, beyond the basketball, is the basketball character and the work ethic and the commitment to winning. It's rare for people to talk about, the Rockets need leadership. They're a young team, and you can't necessarily look at a 20-year-old to be a leader. But from what you're telling us, that actually is something that you can grow with, is a guy who is 20, 21-year-old, who does have leadership characteristics well beyond his age, I guess.
Yeah, and I think if you look at that roster, like you said, being so young, I think Jabari is going to do a really good job of coming in there and bringing those guys along, bringing Jalen along with him and being a good influence because they're so close in age. It's not like he's coming in to a team full of veterans and those guys are like, nah, bro, you're not going to come in here and have a voice. I think that roster is so young that Jabari is going to be able to come in and lead by example. And those guys are going to see the things that this young buck's doing early on. And I think that that'll be really positive for that locker room, for that environment. And like you said, as far as his character goes, he's a high-quality kid. And I think that's the type of thing that's contagious in the locker room. Just like, in any locker room, if there's a cancer in that locker room, if there's a bad apple in that locker room, yep, it can spread throughout. And we've had guys like that at Auburn. Our first couple of years, we had a few bad characters in here because we were trying to win so quickly. And one of the biggest things that we did over the past 5 years is we did an unbelievable job of just getting better, high-quality kids in here, and it just spread throughout. And I think, honestly, if you look at the three guys you got out of the SEC, I think all three of them can do that for you. We recruited Ty-Ty. Ty-Ty's an unbelievable kid. I think he'll have a very similar effect. Tar Eason is an unbelievable competitor. Like, all those guys, I think, bring a lot to the table that can really help the Houston Rockets in the years to come, and obviously Jabari being the forefront of that, I think you guys hit a home run with that pick.
So give us thoughts on Jabari. What is something from a basketball standpoint? I want to talk about his defense for a second because the Rockets were just did not defend well, except when they had a little 7-game win streak out of nowhere last year, and then they began to defend a little bit when they were excited and competing a little more. Tell us about things that he does defensively that you think can carry over and catch fire and really have an impact on everyone else wanting to jump in and be part of that.
Yeah, well, obviously his energy is going to be contagious. When Jabari would sit down and just really get after it and be active with his hands and deflections and be able to switch 1 through 5 in ball screens and keep point guards in front, take it to the rim and block shots, like, that stuff got our guys going. And Jabari was very, very vocal, and he had a ton of energy defensively which really was contagious and got our guys going. You know, him and KD Johnson, who's one of our guards on our team, both did an unbelievable job of just picking up everyone's intensity and tenacity on the defensive end. And, you know, I just think his ability to guard multiple positions obviously is what separates him. He can really guard one through five. You know, he can switch out on the point guards and guard them to the rim. He can switch out on the shooting guards who are going to try and, you know, shake and bake and pull up from three. And he's got the length to block shots, got the length to and I think that was one of the biggest things that separated him in his season is everyone knew that Jabari could come in here offensively and be effective. But to the degree that he came in as a freshman defensively and was just a showstopper and would really lock guys up and did such a great job of making plays with his length and his activity, and, you know, was something that was really special for us. And to have him and Walker Kessler back there playing at 4 and 5, you know, it was just a huge difference maker. And it's the reason why we won so many games and won the SEC.
Auburn assistant coach Stephen Pearl with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, you mentioned, I mean, the Rockets got Jalen, they got Kevin Porter Jr., Alperen Şengün, Jayson Tate, they got Jabari, they got Ty Ty, and they got Tari. Coach, you know how hard it is to win when you're young. I mean, even in college, yep. In the NBA, it's that much harder. How is, mm-hmm. if it's going to be tough going sledding at the beginning, how's Jabari going to handle that?
Yeah, I think Jabari is, you know, he's pretty level-headed. He doesn't get too high or too low. I think one of the biggest things is he stays very consistent, which is really impressive for such a young player. Obviously, he's going to want to win. And when you guys lose, it's going to piss him off, and it's going to make him want to work that much harder. You know, but as a young player, you got to figure out ways to constructively do that. And I think in his year with Auburn, like, we won 19 straight games, but towards the end of the year, like we hit some adversity. We weren't playing our best basketball. We really had to dig deep and grind and find ways to win games late in the year to finish up, you know, our SEC championship run. And Jabari, you know, you could really tell that at first it was hard for him, you know, because he didn't want to lose. But he realized that, you know, obviously you can't get too high, you can't get too low, and you got to go with the flow. And I think Jabari did a really good job late in the year of trying to stay positive with his teammates because, let's face it, late in the year, Jabari was really our only guy offensive that had anything going. But, you know, he knew that for our team to be successful, he still had to get other guys involved. He couldn't just take 25 shots a game. So he was still actively trying to get some of our guards to get out of their shooting slumps, to get Kessler going at the rim. And I think for such a young kid, that showed a ton of maturity, and I think that's something that can really carry over to the next level.
Coach Stephen Pearl with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, I keep telling these guys, they don't listen to me. The SEC in football, I mean, they get 3 out of the 4. Look at the college baseball. It was all SEC. SEC wins it in Ole Miss. College basketball, Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky. It's just different, isn't it?
It really is.
He keeps telling us, Coach.
No, you're right. You're right. It is. And you look at the College World Series, like you said, and you had Texas and Oklahoma in there. I mean, 6 of the 8 teams that are going to be in the new SEC were in the College World Series, 6 out of the 8. You know, obviously people talk about football all the time, but baseball is no joke in this league. And obviously gymnastics and softball and golf and, like, tennis, like, all the best teams in the country are from the SEC. And I think one of the biggest things that we sell in recruiting, guys, is we talk about wanting to train next to champions. You know, our guys are coming in and training next to SUNY Lee, and they're eating lunch next to SUNY Lee and some of our best, you know, football players, some All-American baseball players, some Olympian swimmers. You know, that's not normal everywhere. And that's very normal on an SEC campus to be around those types of athletes and those types of people. And it's just all over the board. And I think it's one of the things that our guys really love is that they're you know, obviously competing against the best, but they're also training alongside the best.
Oh, my God. The SEC commercial from John Granato and Stephen Pearl. Well, unbelievable. I noticed you weren't taking – hold on, Coach. I noticed you weren't taking University of Texas football team from last year. I noticed you left them off the docket.
I just really can't speak on behalf of football. Baseball is so fresh in my mind right now that obviously I can speak on behalf of that.
They just got an SEC quarterback in Arch Manning. He's an SEC quarterback.
Yeah, that's SEC. Let me trust me.
He's going to do a great job down there, and obviously, you know, getting Arch, that's a big step in the right direction.
Trust me, if you ask an old school SEC fan, say, hey, did Arch Manning just sign in the SEC? They'll say, nope. But Texas is going to be in the SEC. Texas ain't an SEC team. That's what they'll say. I guess before we let you go, the one thing that a lot of the analysts, Jay Billis and some of the the analysts I trust on ESPN and some other spots said that the thing that stands out in terms of things for Jabari Smith to work on is you know, being a little bit stronger finisher in the paint, but also being a player who, you know, maybe being a little bit more creative as a shooter, a little bit better on the mid-range. What are some areas where you think he's going – he's played 1 year. So what are some areas where he's going to continue to get better at as a basketball player?
Yeah, I disagree with the whole being creative to get his shots. There was not one player in the country that could stop Jabari from getting to his shot whenever he wanted to. So that's not something I think you ever need to worry about. The one thing where I would agree is off the bounce, he's got to get a little better as far as getting to the rim and creating for others. He's going to be able to get his shots. Don't you guys worry about that. Like, he can get to a shot, and it's going to be a high percentage shot every single time. But I think the one thing that Jabari knows he's got to work on is just off the bounce, being a little more, you know, creative and explosive and a little tighter with the ball. To one, like you said, get downhill and finish at the rim, but also to one, facilitate for his teammates, because he's a very willing passer. And I think if he gets put in ball screen actions, or if he puts the ball on the floor and he's able to make those on time, on target passes to the perimeter or to the rim, that'll separate his game from this level to the next.
That's Stephen Pearl right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, telling truths. Hey, Coach, man, we really appreciate it. Thanks for getting up. Oh, you've been up. You got to recruit. You've been up. There's no question about that. We really appreciate it, man. We can't wait to get Jabari here, and you come to town to watch him, give us a call. We'll have you on.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Good
John
stuff.
Lance, I absolutely will. I appreciate you guys a ton.
All right, there's Stephen Pearl right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, a little QC.
QC Kinetics. So with QC Kinetics, I want to make sure you understand this. There's a lot of you who are diminishing, right? Your lower back, your knee, your hip, and you think, okay, this is normal. I played a lot of sports, and I have this issue, and it's only going to get worse now, so now I'm just going to have to kind of manage that pain, and that's the way this is supposed to work. And so what's up next? Do I need to start getting the shots? Is that what I'm doing now, or when do I get the surgery? I'm here to tell you right now that you don't have to go with the old ways. That's not something you have to do. You don't have to have the shots. You don't have to have the surgeries. Have you considered going to see my friends over at QC Kinetics? Because there's a better way, and it's here right now from local medical professionals at QC Kinetics. They are the nation's leader in regenerative medicine, and it's an advanced, exciting, and natural alternative that can give you lasting relief. So it's not like a shot that gives you temporary relief and then it wears off and then, well, you're back to square one. And it's not surgery, which is going to keep you down. You have pain medicine that you have. You have, you know, issues potentially with the surgery. It's not that either. This is a chance for restorative, regenerative biological therapies that help to restore that damaged tissue in your knee, your hip, your shoulder, your back, so that you can get back to being more active, better mobility, and feeling great again. You don't have to just live with this chronic pain or try to mask it. You can actually attack it with my friends at QC Kinetics with all natural biological therapies that are really working for people just like you. They work for athletes for years. They can work for people just like you. My guy Ken reached out to me in a direct message form on Twitter and said that he had unbelievable success already with pain tolerance. It went from an 8 down to a 5 after just one session. The same thing could be true for you. 713-913-5285. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about it from me. And I promise you, this is something you need to look into right now. 713-913-5285. It's QC Kinetics.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so for those of you just joining us, we got a couple of fights brewing. Adrian Peterson and Le'Veon Bell want to go at it. They look like they're going to at Crypto.com Arena. It looks like, what about Draymond Green and Kendrick Perkins? They look like they're about to go. Kendrick Perkins said, anytime you want to go, let's go. We got another one, Lance. I don't know how you're going to handicap this one.
Okay.
Martellus Bennett and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, Jimmy hadn't said anything about Martellus. I thought Martellus might have been a little out of line. I get what he was saying. That's one of those, he kind of broke a player code where that stuff stays behind closed doors for other players. He called him a bitch like multiple times on a podcast. And, you know, his reasoning for it was that Jimmy basically wouldn't play with an injured off-throwing shoulder, that he hurt his non-throwing shoulder, and that he didn't – and his big problem with it was he didn't opt out of that week until late in the week. It was, well, Sunday. Instead of doing it Thursday and saying, I can't go, he did it on Sunday. And out of nowhere, Jacoby Brissett had to go. And Jacoby Brissett had a bad thumb. And was this when he was – this must have been when he was with the Patriots. I mean, that's a little while back. But that you know, that he couldn't go because he had a bad shoulder. And Jacoby Brissett, who had a really bad thumb, had ligament damage in his thumb, had to try to go, and, you know, he couldn't do anything. And so Martellus Bennett was really pissed off about that. And Julian Edelman was on I Am Athlete podcast and basically said the same thing. Like, I was pissed off too, honestly. You know, he said, it is what it is. I mean, we're all out here putting our bodies on the line. And that's one of those things where you are expected to, if you can go, you're expected to go for a lot of these guys. And I mean, look, you can say what you want about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield played the whole year on an injured off shoulder as well. He kept playing through it. He did not play well, but Baker tried to go. And Baker's going to get a lot of crap, and he deserves a lot of crap, frankly. But you know what Baker, you know what Baker's teammates like? They may not love everything about Baker, but I guarantee you they respect him for playing hurt. And basically Martellus showed a complete disdain for Jimmy Garoppolo not playing hurt. Now that was damn near, what, 5 years ago? I'm not surprised, because that's how, you know, Martellus is going to be like that. I'm a little surprised that kind of thing leaves. It just shows there's certain players that they will take shots at, football players will, and there are other players that they won't. So apparently that's a guy who gets no coverage.
Yeah, well, Edelman basically said,
Edelman agreed.
I could
with
see
him,
why you'd think that. He goes,
he
yeah,
said, I can see why you're thinking, but that's not the same as calling him a bitch three times.
No.
On a podcast, you can't win with a bitch at quarterback. Like, he went over the top. And that was to put that man out there like that in the public. Now, players saying it to players, that's fair game. If that's the way they feel about it, because they're the ones suiting up and having to go through all that stuff. I thought that was kind of weak for Marty B to throw him out there like that 5 years later when he hasn't played with him for a long time. However, I understood his message. His message was, you can't have a soft player at quarterback who's not willing to go out and do what needs to be done. Like, you can't have – and ultimately, I think that's why the Colts got rid of Carson Wentz. They thought he was that kind of guy. Not that he wouldn't play, but you can't be mentally weak, and you can't be physically where you're like, I just can't go. I'm just not 100% today. That's just not – you can say what you want about Ben Roethlisberger. That dude played really hurt a lot of times.
And what'll Texans say about Laremy Tunsil after he goes?
They're not going to have good things to say about him, frankly. They're not gonna love Laremy Tunsil.
I read this weekend where the Texans probably have the best combination of tackles.
You had somebody say that and then create a graphic of what they said and then quote their own graphic. Stop. You read somewhere.
I read somewhere.
It was somebody on Twitter said that. Stop. Okay?
And he quoted his own tweet.
What'd you think about what Martellus did? I think this is the one thing with athletes all having podcasts. Some of the stuff that usually is meant for their eyes only and their ears only, and it's going to start. It is leaking out now, where a lot of other people are going to see kind of how the sausage is made. And there's going to be some stray bullets that hit people, and obviously
that was one. When you're dropping the B on a player.
Lot of bullets hit him.
All right, we got to take a break because when we come back, Dan Lust, sports attorney on ESPN, CBS, and Fox, is going to be joining us next right here to talk about this Texans and the lawsuits deal. So we're going to do that. But first, a little site jab.
Yeah, site jab allows you a chance to get into a brand new updated website. And it's really more than just building websites. It's also creating leads for your business, your small to medium-sized business. Look, you've got competition out there. Let's face it. And does your website stand up to your competition? Does your website put your business and your work in a better light? Does it shine a brighter light and a better light and a clearer light on what you do than for, you know, your competition? SiteJab will help you do just that. They handle the web design. They can do custom websites. They can do e-commerce websites. They can handle professional video production, lead generation, branding and identity, social media management, and much, much more. You can go to the website at sitejab.com and click the Let's Meet button in the upper right-hand corner to set up your consultation, or just give them a call at the phone number that's provided as well. But with SiteJab, you are going to have a professional business that goes out of their way to make sure that the analytics are baked into the design team so that you are keeping eyes on your site longer and they are interacting with your information easily and efficiently so you can convert them to business leads. SiteJab.com. They've been doing it for over 2 decades, and they're based right here in Houston. They'll do it for you as well at a very reasonable price. SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.